Burger, Beyer, Bonamici, Boone, Boquist, Bruin, Buckley, Burley, Butler, Cameron, Cannon, Clem, Cowan, Dallum, Dingfelder, Chris Edwards, David Edwards, Esquivel, Flores, Galizio, Gerard, Gilzer, Gilliam, Gilman, Gerard, Greenlick, Hannah, Holvey, Hunt, Jensen, Comp, Kotek, Krieger, Crummel, Lim, McPherson, Maurer, Minnis, Morgan, Nathanson, Nelson, Nolan, Olson, Reed, Richardson, Riley, Roblin, Rosenbaum, Schaffler, Scott, Shields, Greg Smith, Patty Smith, Thatcher, Tomei, Wisnet, Witt, Mr. Speaker, Excused, Boquist, Burley, Butler, Gilman, Kotek, Crummel, Maurer, Morgan, Reed, Scott, Greg Smith, Thatcher, excuse for business, Nolan.
Flagslu will be led by Representative Donna Nelson.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The opening ceremony will be a moment of silence. Courtesies. This could be a record if we have no courtesies. Now we have a courtesy. Saturday, May 19th, is a day of special significance in the life of Representative Sal Esquivel. Happy birthday tomorrow. Do we have any further courtesies? We're standing by for quorum, so if anyone suddenly has a courtesy, feel free to check in. Representative Tomei.
Mr. Speaker, this isn't really a courtesy. Could I make an announcement?
Please.
Okay,
go ahead.
I just want to remind folks that this is Women's Health Week, and on your desks you have from the Women's Health and Wellness Alliance materials about HPV and cervical cancer. This will be very interesting for your families, your daughters, your sisters. Young people, please look at this, and if you have any questions, let me or Representative Greenlick know. Thank you.
For the courtesies, Representative Patty Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to follow the good representative's announcement. Tomorrow's Armed Services Day, and I want to celebrate all those people who serve honorably for us all and have sacrificed so much, their families and communities. And I'm going to Hood River tomorrow to spend the day, Armed Services Day.
Thank you. We now have a quorum. Messages from the governor.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the governor to reform that he has approved to sign the following bills, House Bills 2372, 2702, 2992.
Messages from the Senate.
Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the president to reform that the Senate has passed House Bills 2253, 2254, 2255, 2259, 2260, 2273, 2318, 2366, 2385, 2423, 2741, 28, 26, 2906, adopted SJM 9 and 11, concurred in House Amendments to repass Senate Bills 413 and Senate Bills 172. Mr. Speaker, I'm directed by the President to inform that he has signed Senate Bills 65, 124, 112, 64, 79, 105, 202, 203, 237, 242, 265, 301, 322, 403, 516, 537, 545, 553, 579, 615, 699, 773, 747, 748, and 950.
First reading, memorials and resolutions.
SJM 9, urging Congress to pass legislation for transition of National Guard and reservists to civilian life following active service. SJM 11, urging Congress to repeal provision of National Defense Authorization Act relating to federal control over National Guard.
It is read first time or passed the Speaker's desk for referral. Standing committee reports. Committee report file has been distributed. Special committee reports. Special orders of business. Clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 1040 relating to health services and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 1041. Representative Boone. Stand at ease for just a moment.
Mr. Speaker, I would move to have Senate Bill 1041 made a special order of business on Tuesday, May 22nd.
Representative Boone asks for the Senate Bill 1041 to be made a special order of business in its proper order as a first item of business on Tuesday, May 22nd. Those who are in support, is it a debatable motion? It's not a debatable motion. Those in support will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed will say no. The motion is adopted. Propositions and motions. Representative Dingfelder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2097 and repass the bill.
Representative Dingfelder moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2097 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Mr. Speaker, Senate Bill 2097, the amendments to this bill, it came over from the Senate. The committee does concur with, and what it does is extends the split leasing element of this bill, which is basically allows water use for in-stream use, and that has been extended to, I think it's 2014. With the Senate amendments, is extended to 2014.
Are you done? Yes.
I'm finished.
Okay. Further discussion. Representative Patty Smith.
Question of the carrier.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
Yes.
Carrier yields.
Do you know why they extended the deadline is what I wanted to know why.
Mr. Speaker, yes, I do. There was quite a bit of discussion about this program in my caucus, in my committee, sorry, which was several months ago. However, the main issue was that the sunset was expiring in, I think it was 2007. 2008, and there was an interest in extending this program because it hadn't been utilized very much. Only about a few leases had been submitted, and no complaints had been issued during this time, so there was an interest in extending this program.
Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Dingfelder, do you wish to close?
No.
She does not. Those of the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2097 and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Hunt, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Holvey? Votes aye. Representative Lim? How do you vote? Representative Lim? He votes aye. Hunt votes aye. Representative Hanna? I ask for unanimous consent. Chair asks for unanimous consent to suspend the rules and allow Representative Hanna to vote on the bill. Just clarification, you have to be on the floor during the period and vote before you leave the floor. And if you voted, we didn't catch your vote. So is there an objection? Hearing none. We will record as Representative Hanna is voting aye. House Bill 2097A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill. All right. Representative McPherson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2147 and repass the bill.
Representative McPherson moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2147 and repass the bill. To your motion.
Colleagues, you'll recall House Bill 2147 was one of a number of bills that came to us from the Attorney General's Task Force on Underage Drinking. And what this bill would have done or does is to add to an existing provision of the law which says that that minors who are age 17 or younger and who are convicted of possession, use, or abuse of alcohol will have their driving privileges suspended. But it was done by amending a statute that combines both underage drinking, that is use of alcohol, and use of controlled substances. And in the Senate side, the bill was amended to split the statute so that it applies just to underage drinking, so that the controlled substances provision is unchanged and moves into a separate provision from the provision on underage drinking. And that reflects the focus of this bill, which is on the problem with underage drinking. It came from a task force whose focus was on underage drinking. It was not intended to try to weigh in on a broader policy choice. It was focused on trying to provide a disincentive for the underage use of alcohol. And so I think that limitation of the bill to the purpose for which it was described when it was presented on this chamber floor together before is an appropriate thing for us to concur in, and I urge your aye vote on this motion.
For the discussion, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Question to the carrier.
Question to the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I do.
Carrier does.
Thank you. Thank you, Representative. Representative, I'm somewhat confused. So according to the amendment, so if someone between 17 and 20 is using controlled substances, drugs, they are not covered by this amendment. It's only if they're using alcohol. Is that correct?
That's right. This bill makes a change with respect to the use of alcohol by underage people 18, 19, and 20 years old, and it makes no change with respect to controlled substances.
Follow-up?
By the Senate.
Additional question, Carrier? Does Carrier yield? He does.
Thank you, Representative. I just want to make absolutely sure that I understand. So the bill seems to say that there will be more restrictions if one is using alcohol between the ages of 17 and 20, but the same restrictions not apply to other controlled substances. Is that correct?
When you say more restrictions, I mean that what the bill does is it provides for suspension of a driver's license for someone who uses or abuses alcohol who's underage. And that doesn't change from the way the bill originally was voted on here on the floor, except that an element that was not described to the House before, which is that controlled substances then were brought along with the same change, so that then now the way we passed it here in the House, an 18, 19, or 20-year-old would be who is convicted of possession or abuse of a controlled substance would be also be subject to license suspension, and that element has been removed from the bill.
Further question to the carrier.
Further question to the carrier. Carrier yield?
I do.
Carrier does.
I'm sorry. I'm more confused than ever. I just want to make sure that I understand. So if someone 18 years old is using a controlled substance, they will not lose their driving privileges. Is that correct?
If we, Representative, if we concur in the Senate amendments, then an 18-year-old who uses a controlled substance will not have license suspension as a consequence of doing so.
Thank you very much, Representative. To the bill?
To the bill.
I will be voting for this bill because I think it's a good start, but I think it's very confusing that controlled substances are not included in this, as well as alcohol abuse for underage drivers. It doesn't make any sense to me that an 18-year-old who is using a controlled substance would not lose their driver's license, whereas an 18-year-old using alcohol would lose their driver's license. But I will be voting for the bill. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Cannon.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I was a no on this vote on this bill the first time around. I'll be a no again. I don't think it's been changed substantively by the Senate, at least not in a way that addresses my concerns, which have to do with the suspension of a driver's license for a 18, 19, 20-year-old for possession of alcohol. I think that's not necessarily the appropriate response to that crime, and I will be a no vote again. Thank you.
Further discussion? See none. Representative McPherson, do you wish to close?
Colleagues, I think the issue on this concurrence motion is whether we should be trying to do something broader than what the group who developed the bill originally and brought it to the legislature was trying to accomplish. They were trying to accomplish an impact on underage drinking and concluded after many months of work that the prospect of license suspension would have an impact on underage use of alcohol. They did not consider the question of whether it would have an impact on underage use of controlled substances. It might, but it's just beyond the scope of what the task force did. And so the bill was narrowed from its impact when it came across this floor before so that it focuses just on alcohol. If somebody thought it was a good idea to try to influence the use of controlled substances by underage people by having a license suspension prospect or risk, then they could analyze that and bring forth a bill to do that. But this bill just focuses down, as a result of the Senate amendments, on underage drinking alone. It doesn't say that it's right for young people who are 18, 19, and 20 to be using controlled substances. And if somebody concluded that that would be an effective incentive or disincentive to shape their conduct, then that's maybe a good proposal for the future. It's just what we have before us is an attempt to try to shape the conduct of people who are not yet permitted to drink and who then commit that offense by using license suspension as the disincentive. I urge an aye vote on the motion.
Those are the opinion that the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 2147A and repass the bill will vote aye. Those opposed, no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? She votes aye. Representative Roblin votes aye. Representative Holvey votes no. House Bill 2147A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Representative Riley.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move that the House concur in Senate amendments to House Bill 3414 and repass the bill.
Representative Riley moves the House concur in the Senate amendments to House Bill 3414A and repass the bill. To your motion.
Thank you. Colleagues, this bill allows the county court to appoint to its fair board members from an adjoining county. The Senate amendment is simply to add a emergency clause, and the reason they did that is because the county who wants to do this is waiting. They need to do it now.
Yeah. Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Riley, do you wish to close? He does not. Those of opinion the House concur in the Senate amendments for House Bill 3414A and repass the bill will vote aye, and those opposed no, and the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Representative Nolan votes aye. Representative Tomei, for what purpose do you rise?
To change my vote to no, please.
Representative Tomei changes her vote from aye to no. All have voted. House Bill 3414A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared repassed. Representative Rosenbaum.
Mr. Speaker, I move adoption of the proposed amendment to the House Rule 3.20.
Representative Rosenbaum moves adoption of the proposed amendment to the House Rule 3.20. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I bring you a proposed amendment to House Bill 3.20, which comes to you with a unanimous aye vote from your House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules. And it makes a pretty simple change to the House rules, so I'll just describe it and then I'll read you the pivotal portion, and you do have copies on your desks in front of you. Currently, the House rules basically say that members have to vote on all bills if they are present on the floor when the bill is voted on. They cannot abstain from voting. What we discovered is that we don't actually have anything in the rules that addresses what happens if a member chooses not to vote when they are present, and that we really needed to address that. So what our proposed rule change to 3.20 does, and I'll just read it because it's shorter, the pivotal section is parentheses 3, which says, any member's refusal to vote, as required by House rules, shall be recorded in the journal as an intentional violation of House Rule 3.20, subsection 1, and a high breach of decorum. The representative shall be censured. The clerk shall record the representative's vote on the measure on which the member refused to vote as a yea, and the member may also be subject to other penalties as the House may order. The rule provides for two things. One is that if somebody refuses to vote, and this is after their name is called three times and this rule is read to them, so they cannot have any doubt that they are being required to vote, then that their vote will count as an aye vote and that they will be automatically censured and that action will be recorded in the journal. Our House Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules did not come up with this lightly. In fact, we took two full hearings to deliberate over this. We looked at what other states provide for in their rules in this circumstance. We did research through the National Conference of State Legislatures and with the help of the Chief Clerk, came up with this proposal as one that we think works well for Oregon and is a good solution to the silence of the rules as they now exist. So I would urge you to support this. It did pass with a unanimous vote with all the members of the Rules Committee voting for it, and I would urge you to vote for it as well. And I welcome any questions. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Lim.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. And I have a few questions to the carrier, please.
Question of the carrier. Does carrier yield?
I do.
All right. She does.
Okay. Thank you very much. The rule change, the clerk shall record the representative's vote on the measure on which the measure refused to vote as a yay. And why it is yay instead of nay?
Thank you for that question, Representative. So why are we counting it as an aye vote instead of a nay vote?
Exactly.
essentially because we consulted through the Chief Clerk and with NCSL found that one other state does count it as an aye vote. I believe that state is Wyoming. We consulted with Legislative Council about whether that was consistent with the Constitution. And I think ultimately we felt that the body couldn't just be stymied by having, you know, the vote just go away, because the rules and our rules currently require the vote to be cast. So it needed to be counted, and that was the decision the committee made.
Thank you very much. Another question.
Additional question. The carrier does carry you?
I do.
Carrier
Thank
yields.
Thank you. And by refused to vote, considered yay vote, do you believe it will help majority of the chamber or minority of the chamber, minority of the parties? It will help the majority of the chamber members or minority of the chamber members? Am I clear?
You're asking, do I think this will help the members in the majority party or the minority party?
Exactly.
I don't think it will do either one, really. And I think I just should be really clear that the intention of this rule change is not to be having to use it. It's to provide a deterrent from violating the House rules which require members to cast their vote. And I mean, no one wants to assign a vote arbitrarily for a member. And I think the solution for somebody who doesn't want to vote is to cast their vote, aye or nay, as they choose to do so. But the rule just provides that if they still fail to do that, that it will be cast. I don't think it benefits any particular party. It would depend on what measure was being considered. And, it, you know, clearly the same party is not always in the majority or minority or in favor or opposed to any bill.
Okay. Thank you very much. To the bill.
To the motion.
To the motion. Okay. Can I use the visual aid?
Representative Lim asks unanimous consent to use a visual aid. Is there an objection?
Right.
Hearing none, please go ahead.
I'm going to write something here, and I hope you can you could understand what I'm going to write. This is what I wrote. I'm going to hang in here. So I'm not going to explain what it is. You might have to figure that out yourself. If you have any Chinese friend or Korean friend, Japanese friend, this is a Chinese character, and you might understand what I'm talking about. But anyway, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to explain why I refused to vote 2 weeks ago when the House bill came here to vote on it. And I'm sure each member of you understand why I refused to vote. A member who refused to vote because debate was cut off abruptly. The member did not have the opportunity to speak on the measure. As a member stated, which is the member is me, that I would have voted had I had the opportunity to speak on the measure. House Rule 3.20 requires every member present must vote. But House rule also require that every member given the opportunity to speak on every measure. The specific House rule requires on final passage of a measure, the author thereof and the chair of the committee that report a measure or a member designated by the chair may speak for 10 minutes, which we all practice, and other members may speak for 5 minutes. While other members have spoken 10 to 15 minutes, I didn't have any chance to speak even 1 minute, even not a second. The House rule requires each member be given up to 5 minutes to speak on the final passage of every measure before the vote. Allowing every elected representative the opportunity to speak on every measure is a fundamental right in any democracy. Yes, under democracy, majority rules, which I understand, but not at the expense of the minority's right to speak. The majority does not have the right to stifle debate on measures which it brings to the body for a vote. Carrying out the fundamental right of the minority is the purpose of the House Rule 6.3, subsection 1. House Rule, if the House Rule has been followed, allowing each member, including me, to speak, we wouldn't be here where we are today, specifying penalties for refusal to vote. As a matter of fact, I liked that the original bill, $5,000. Even I'm willing to increase $10,000 to pay penalty in case someone refused to vote. But before that, we need to understand the fundamental question. Did we given equal opportunity to the minority to speak? I think that their fundamental right has been denied and refused. It is in the Mason Rule, subsection 9, subsection 2 says, it is a fundamental rule of parliamentary practice governing all deliberatory assemblies that the opportunity to deliberate and, if possible, convince other fellows is the right of the minority, which right they cannot deprive of by the arbitrary will of the majorities. As a matter of fact, sometimes when I come to the floor, sometimes I do not know how to vote. As a matter of fact, I change it 3 times. As I listen to this debate, yeah, I was going to vote for it. If some members are speaking against it, I change the mind, yeah, I'm going to vote this way. Sometimes I change it 3 times.
Representative Lim, when you yield, Representative Flores yields.
Thank you very much, Representative Flores. I will be brief following messages. It should be clear the proposed rule change specifying the sanctions refusing to vote is not needed. It's either in my knowledge, no one did it. I was the first one did it because of the opportunity not given to me. The proposed rule change is not needed. We already have a rule requiring every member vote. What is need to follow the rule is that every member be allowed to speak on every measure. That is a very fundamental right. All that is needed is respect for the opportunity to deliberate. All that is needed is respect for every member's right to speak. My voice from my District 50 has been denied. Because of the fact the opportunity to speak denied, I refuse to vote. I stand by what I did, and I'm proud of what I did. In the future, when I talk to my children, my grandchildren, and the grand-grandchildren, I can tell them, your grandfather did what I believe in, what I believe strongly in principle, free speech, right to speak, and opportunity to speak. That's the core issue. Not trying to penalize someone else, try to vote yay and no. This is immaterial to me. Are we doing the right thing in this assembly? I think last time when I did that, I think we fumbled. I think we shouldn't do it again, and we should give every member opportunity to speak. Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker.
Further discussion, Representative Gilliam.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I first want to say that I believe this measure is to the motion, and I thank you, is inappropriate this time. It emanates from an issue and from an incident that we're all familiar with. What I do think is appropriate is the way the Speaker tried very hard that day to work this out. I think we were all caught flat-footed. I think it is appropriate that the Rules Committee took this under consideration. I don't have their perspective in deliberating over this, and I have the utmost respect for this body and for their ability to meet and talk about rules. What I think we need to remember is just simply this. This is not a trend. The previous speaker did not open up a can of worms. There have been no copycats. This was not a trick or a political ploy to hold up the House. What I think you should consider is this. I think you should consider the situation and how it was isolated. I think you should consider the integrity of the person that we're talking about, the previous speaker. And just remember, we have not had an incident since, and that this rule, in my opinion, is overkill. Let's keep an eye on it. Let's send it to rules for discussion. But let's not overreact, and let's remember the incident itself and the person and the passion that he had. We may not agree, but I think we can all respect him. And lastly, Mr. Speaker, if the gentleman behind me will allow me, I may vote for this measure at some point, just not now.
Representative Esquivel.
To the motion. Colleagues, we discussed this at pretty much length in rules. My fellow representative from Ashland, and I have worked a lot on rules in this House. The one thing we found here is we have a hole in the system. There is no accountability if you do not vote. What do? No way. You have nothing in writing on what you do or how you react. No one ever questions my colleagues from Gresham's respectability, credibility, or his ethics. That's never happened, and I would hope that no one would ever question that. I was even more so, because this institution is the most important thing here. We come and go, but this institution is very important. So that's why we do have rules. I even wanted to have a shunning. That's what I'll call it, what they do in Maine. If you don't vote, you are then no longer recognized by that body. You cannot address that body, and you cannot vote from that day forth or that moment forth until you publicly apologize to the body. It could be a lot more severe than it actually is written. That's what I'm saying. What was interesting, getting all this information from all the other states, most of the states said, this has never happened. Some say it did happen, and this is what we did. But they're in the same situation that we are. This isn't anything to do with what Representative Lim felt, because that's a different issue. That's an issue of we need to work on the rules on how people get to speak on this floor. That's a different venue, in my opinion. But when someone doesn't vote, that is in itself is in a different venue. That's what we're trying to correct here. That's what we have to address as a body, because this body will maintain itself many, many years after we're all gone, many, many years after we're forgotten, but this rule may still be in effect. Thank you.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Rosenbaum, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Just briefly, colleagues, I think we've had a good discussion about this, and I just want to make a couple of things clear. One is that this rule change did not come to you without a great deal of thought and work on behalf of your Committee on Elections, Ethics, and Rules. What you're voting on today is not what was proposed by the Speaker. In fact, we totally rejected the idea of a fine to come out of member services and supplies because a number of members on both sides of the aisle had come to us and said they thought that was punishing the district and the members' ability to represent their constituents, and so we decided that was not appropriate. As a good representative from Medford just told you, there were also proposals for much more severe penalties, such as refusing to allow a member to speak or vote at all until they had officially apologized. So I think what we have done here in this proposal is tried to strike a balance and come up with a proposal that really does provide some certainty and clarity in our rules about what we will do if the prohibition on a member refusing to vote is violated. I also want to make it clear to the representative from Gresham that I have the greatest respect for you, for your enormous integrity. I think you bring great dignity, and you're one of, in fact, my favorite members in this body. But I also want to say to the rest of you that the rule change is not aimed at any particular member. It's simply the case that we needed to deal with a place where our current House rules were silent. And I think that, you know, the original rule that is in place now that requires members to vote came about because of a previous member's refusal to vote many years ago. I believe that was a member of my party at that time. So it really is not aimed at any one person or party. It simply is the case that we discovered the rules did not tell us what to do when a member refused to vote. And this proposal, I think, will provide some certainty. I do not think it is overly punitive, and I think it is a good rule change, and I would urge you to vote aye.
Those are the opinion that the proposed amendment to House Rule 3.20 should be adopted will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Nolan, how do you vote? Nolan votes aye. Representative Schaffler votes aye. Representative Krieger votes aye. All have voted. The motion to adopt the proposed amendment to House Rule 3.20, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Representative Jensen, for what purpose do you rise?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Request permission to return to the order of courtesies.
Just a moment. I have to complete the official act we were just on. Representative Jensen requests unanimous consent to return to courtesies. Is there an objection? Hearing none, please go ahead.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, I'd like to have you welcome the students from Nikyawe a community school, a public charter school on the Umatilla Indian Reservation. They will be drumming during the noon Tribal Information Day program. And just for your information, Nikyawe is the name of their of the community, the land on which those folks come from there in Eastern Oregon. So welcome. Have a good day here.
It's a pleasure to have you with us. Are there further courtesies? First reading of House bills. Second reading of House bills.
House Bill 2021 relating to prevailing rate of wage. House Bill 2186 relating to set off of liquidated debts. House Bill 2294 relating to fish screening. House Bill 2793 relating to taxation of interest in electric transmission lines prescribing an effective date. House Bill 3044 relating to fire suspension funding prescribing an effective date and providing for revenue raising that requires approval by a 3/5 majority. House Bill 3046 relating to property taxes exemption from natural gas pipeline extension projects and prescribing an effective date.
Bills read second time or passed the third reading. Consent calendar. Clerk, read the bill and short summary.
Senate Bill 208 relating to licensure to practice naturopathic medicine. Authorized Board of Naturopathic Examiners to place voluntary limitations on license to practice naturopathic medicine if requested by licensees or applicant.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 208A. Those who opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Richardson, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Lim votes aye. All have voted. Senate Bill 208A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 209, relating to qualifications for members of Council on Naturopathic Physicians Formulary, modifies qualifications for certain members of Council of Naturopathic Physicians Formulary.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 209. Those with opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representing Shuffler votes aye. Representing Clem. Representing Clem, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Wisnett votes aye. Senate Bill 209, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 531, relating to physician assistants, increases number of physician assistants on physician assistant committee to 3 and eliminates pharmacist member of committee.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 531A. Those of opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen votes aye. Representative Gilliam votes aye. Senate Bill 531A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, for the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 620, relating to naturopathic physicians, defines naturopathic physician, allows naturopathic physicians to submit report to state health officer in support of application for certificate.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 620. Those opinion the bill should pass vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Bruin votes aye. Representative Gelser. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Representative Gelser votes aye. Representative Clem. Representative Clem votes aye. Senate Bill. Representative Clem, you were not on the floor at the end of the 30 seconds, so we cannot accept your vote. Senate Bill 620, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 670, relating to supervision of physician assistants, authorized supervised physician of physician assistants to designate another physician as agent to temporary supervised physician assistant.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 678A. Those opinion the bill should pass vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative McPherson, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Flores votes aye. Senate Bill 678A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 131, relating to restitution, defines supervising authority for purposes of restitution.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 131A. Those opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Berger votes aye. Representative Gelser votes aye. Representative Holvey votes aye. Representative Wisnett votes aye. Senate Bill 131A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 501, relating to judgments, clarifies amounts required to be included in money award a portion of judgment.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 501A. Those opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Holvey, how do you vote? He votes aye. Representative Gelser, votes aye. Representative Jensen, votes aye. Representative Kump, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I hit the wrong button. I'd like to change my no to an aye.
Representative Kump changes the vote from no to aye. Senate Bill 501A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 625, relating to sale of county land by private sale, modifies value of county land eligible to be sold by private sale.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 625A. Those of the opinion the bill should pass vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Gelser, votes aye. Representative Barker, votes aye. Representative Greenlick, votes aye. Representative Wisnett, votes aye. Senate Bill 625A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 967, related to statutory created legislative committees, eliminates certain inactive legislative committees created by a statute.
Question now arises upon third reading and final consideration of Senate Bill 967A. Those opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Lim, for what purpose do you rise?
Mr. Speaker, I believe this is an important bill we need to discuss, and is there any way we can discuss on this issue?
Representative Lim, the answer is there is not a method for this. The vote is underway, and it was on the consent calendar, and you need to ask 2 days in advance to remove it from the consent calendar. Thank you. Representative Gilliam, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 967A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill.
Senate Bill 198, relating to academic degrees and declaring an emergency, allows Oregon Student Assistance Commission through Office of Degree Authorization to terminate activities of diploma mills and operation of post-secondary accrediting bodies not recognized by United States Department of Education.
Question now arises upon third reading and final consideration of Senate Bill 198B. Excuse me. Those opinion the bill should pass will vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin votes aye. Senate Bill 198B, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 216, relating to education at youth care centers and declaring an emergency specifies children at youth care center operated by a public agency in addition to children at youth care center operated by a private agency are entitled to receive appropriate education.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 216. Those who are of the opinion the bill should pass vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Barnhart, how do you vote? He votes aye. Senate Bill 216, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 586, relating to individual health benefit plans. Repeal sunset on provision for permitting insurance carriers to limit individual health benefit plans in which individual may elect to enroll and on provisions permitting insurance carrier to offer to insurance applicant.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 586A. Those opinion bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? He votes aye. Senate Bill 586A, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Clerk, read the next bill in summary.
Senate Bill 889, relating to practice of pharmacy, declares practice of pharmacy healthcare professional practice.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 889. Those opinion the bill should pass, vote aye. Those opposed, no. And the clerk will open the voting system. Representative Flores votes aye. Senate Bill 889, having received a constitutional majority, is declared passed. Third reading of House bills. Clerk, read the first bill.
House Bill 3543, relating to climate change and declaring an emergency.
Question now arises upon third reading and final passage of House Bill 3543A. Representative Cannon.
Mr. Speaker, I move House Bill 3543 be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Representative Cannon moves that House Bill 3543A be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. To your motion.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Colleagues, if there was ever an issue that needed our full attention, our full commitment, and our full seriousness of purpose, it is climate change, and that's why I urge you to support this motion to refer the bill to Ways and Means. A couple of words in support. Current projections show that in Oregon we have already experienced a 50% decline in our Cascade snowpack since 1950. That has severe consequences for water in the region, earlier runoffs, lower summer flows, effects on fish, hydropower, etc. We face serious risks to human health from infectious diseases moving northward as the climate warms, to our oceans and coasts, as we see a between 4 and 35 inch rise in sea level between now and 2100. We have estimates of economic impacts from climate change.
Representative, you can only speak to the purpose of referring it back to Ways and Means and not to the merits of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just want to make it clear how important this bill is, that it deserves further scrutiny that we should undertake that scrutiny in Ways and Means, and I urge an aye vote.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Cannon, do you wish to close on your motion? He does not. Those of opinion in support of the motion to refer to Committee on Ways and Means, House Bill 3543A, will say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, no. The motion, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Clerk, read the next bill.
House Bill 3113, related to child abuse investigations.
Question now arises on third reading and final passage of House Bill 3113A. Representative Flores.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First, I would like to thank the Chair of the Human Services and Women's Wellness Committee, Representative Tomei, and Representatives Gelzer and Kotek for their encouragement and support on this bill. This session, colleagues, we've heard quite a few bills on the floor to combat child abuse in Oregon, and that's because we know it's a big problem. House Bill 3113 fills a void in our child abuse investigation system. It's a void regarding daycare. I jumped in to co-sponsor this particular bill after serving on the Oregon Child Care Commission for the past couple of years. My co-carrier, the good representative from Josephine County, was not able to join us today, but the story I'm about to tell you comes from his hometown. 18 months ago, the parents of a 2-year-old boy are contacted by a worker at their son's daycare center. They're told the boy had been verbally and physically abused, including an incident where he was thrown against a wall. Let me read a little from a letter the boy's father sent to us. We had to hear of physical abuse such as being held down by his throat, pushed into the wall, dragged by the arm, and verbal abuse like being called stupid. Our system doesn't work for the small children among us that are abused by the daycare provider. The police say there's not enough evidence for criminal charges, so they referred it to DHS and state licensing. DHS tells us they don't handle abuse cases against daycares. But if it was my wife or I, any other family member being accused, they would be all over it. And sadly, colleagues, that is true. Under current state law, the Department of Human Services, Child Protective Services Division, does not investigate what they call third-party abuse, allegations at daycare facilities. Once in a while, they will be called in by law enforcement to assist with protective custody or other matters. The Child Care Division, which is under the Employment Department, is responsible for licensing these operations and overseeing the health and safety issues. For example, if the boy had slipped on a wet floor and hit the wall by accident, that might be a health violation the Child Care Division could investigate, but not if a daycare provider or worker picked up the child and flung him against the wall. Under current law, the responsibility for these child care facilities rests with local police agencies. Oftentimes, they don't have the proper training or resources available to follow up on every report. House Bill 3113 is intended to catch any abused children who are falling through the cracks in the system. This bill requires DHS to take action when there is a report about abuse going on at a child care center or a family child care operation. They are also instructed to work with law enforcement agencies to determine their roles and report to the Child Care Division when they're finished. Let me wrap this up with a few words from the mother in the case I referred to. How do we protect our children? At what point does someone step up and help us get justice? I felt in today's world to give your children proper health care and good solid housing and fill all the other things children require, it takes two incomes. So I wake up my baby each morning, get him ready, put on a warm coat, load him into his approved safe car seat, and drive him to a day of choking, wall slamming, yelling, and making him cry all alone on the floor. All this by the same teacher who smiled at me that morning and gladly accepted my check for $600. I was a fool to think they would make sure the care was as they advertised, next best thing to mom. Because I trusted my son suffered, and I will carry the guilt for the rest of my days. Let's give this mother a little peace of mind and hopefully try to prevent similar abuses from happening in the future. Please support House Bill 3113.
Further discussion, Representative Tomei.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, this is a very good bill. I want to thank the good representative from Damascus and Boring for bringing this to us today. It got a unanimous support in the Women's Health and Wellness and Human Services Committee. There is one small problem. It does have a fiscal, an indeterminate fiscal. We talked about fixing it on this side, but it will be fixed on the Senate side, and the carriers of the bill realize that, and we're in total support of this very, very good bill, and I urge your support also. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Flores, do you wish to close?
Very briefly, Madam Speaker, thank you. In the interest of full disclosure, and I do appreciate the Chair mentioning it, we are planning a one-word change in amendment over on the Senate side. It will be in Section 1, Subparagraph 2, which is on page 1. It's at line 7, and you'll see the terminology, the department and the agency. That will be changed to the department or the agency. That small change will significantly reduce the fiscal impact of this bill. In fact, it will be, as the Legislative Fiscal Office noted on page 2 of its summary, it will be minimal. So we noticed the error. We wanted to get this moving through the process, not stalled along the way. So once that change is made, this will be a very good piece of public policy. And we very much would appreciate your support. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Beyer, how do you vote? Votes aye. House Bill 3113A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill. Final reading, memorials and resolutions. The clerk will read the resolution.
SCR 10, mourning the flooding of Celilo Falls in 1957 and its loss to the tribal people of Oregon.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of Senate Concurrent Resolution 10A. Representative Berger.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Concurrent Resolution 10 was sponsored by Senator Gordley in recognition of the loss to the Wyom of the Wyom of or the Celilo Falls of the Columbia River. Culturally, I think most of us hold a worldview that the dams on the Columbia River have had overriding benefits, including increased river navigability and power generation, and nobody disputes this, but this memorial doesn't speak to that outlook. This resolution instead takes a very long view. Consider the endless millennia it took to carve out the Columbia River, and how at this spot, the river couldn't break the underlying basalt, instead forming a spectacular series of cascades, which required salmon coming upstream to jump completely out of the water. And then consider what the falls at Celilo meant to the untold generations for whom it was a breadbasket, a sustained food source, a gathering and trading center, and a sacred spiritual home. looked at from that time frame, a mere blink of an eye ago, on March 10, 1957, the falls at Celilo were covered with water by the opening of the Dalles Dam. This memorial recognized that for all of us, this was a profound loss. For 50 years, the falls have been buried beneath the lake formed by the dam, but there are many, including me, who clearly remember this unique and significant Northwest geologic feature. I ask you to read this memorial and think about what it's meant to people. For the tribes listed here, this memorial recognizes this great spiritual loss. Let me read from the memorial in closing. The silence of the dead falls is rivaled only by the silence in the hearts of the elders who remember the thunder of the falls and the vibrant community struck down by the dam. It's time we remembered these things, my friends, and this memorial speaks to that. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Dallin.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the memorial.
To the memorial.
Celilo Falls is in my district. Just the other day, I bought a World History Roundup, and last night was reading about the Plains of Summer. 8,000 years before Christ, people moved into that valley. 1,000 years before that, Celilo Falls was inhabited. I support the memorial and ask you to support it too.
Further discussion, Representative Riley.
To the memorial.
To the resolution.
To the resolution. Thank you. Colleagues, the year that this dam was built was the year I graduated from high school, and it stayed a long way from here. And I never got to see Celilo Falls, and I count that as a great loss. I wish I had seen it. But I support this resolution, and I hope you all will as well.
Further discussion, Representative Gelster.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the resolution?
To the resolution.
Thank you. I rise today in support of Senate Concurrent Resolution 10, in part because I had the experience as a person that did not grow up in Oregon of learning for the very first time about Celilo Falls only about 3 weeks ago. And that was something that I was extraordinarily embarrassed about, that this was a piece of Oregon's history that was so critical to the native people of Oregon, so spiritually significant, so economically significant, and that I did not know, had not talked to my children about it. I had the opportunity to spend some time in Pendleton and visit the museum, which has a wonderful exhibit right now about the history of Celilo Falls and about the building of the dams and about the tremendous silence when the falls stopped rushing and coming back. We stopped to look and wonder. So I'm pleased to support this resolution, both to send that message and to recognize back to the tribes, to honor that group here, but also to ensure that for future generations, for new Oregonians, for people like me that don't know, we should know. And this is a way of raising awareness and helping us to understand this very important piece of our history. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
I am also going to vote for this, obviously. This river is something unique to Oregon, and if you haven't been out on it, I think it would do you a good turn to go out on this river, whether you go down at the mouth in my district or up over Celilo Falls, where I know that if you sit in a boat on top of that water, you'll feel the spirit. And it's incumbent on all of us to protect our natural resources and to remember the natural resources from the beginning on. And this is a tribute we pay to the tribes and to our Native Oregonians and to the river itself, which is pretty impressive. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Merkley.
To the resolution, Madam Speaker.
To the resolution.
Unlike the good representative from Cornelius, I was only 5 months old when the dam flooded the river. But I think there is a passage in the resolution that captures the spiritual significance. It notes that on March 10th, 1957, the waters held back by the Dalles Dam flooded in silence the awesome and sacred roar of Salado Falls, severing a great spiritual connection between the Creator, Mother Earth, and the native peoples of Oregon. I think it severed a connection for many of us as well. My son just asked me, what is Salado Falls? What is this about? And he has been to that spot many times, but like so many thousands that go down Highway 84 or go to see the magnificent wonders of the gorge, doesn't know about the history and what lies beneath the waters and what once was. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Barker.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. The resolution.
To the resolution.
Colleagues, I feel really fortunate as we talk about this today. When I was a kid, my dad occasionally would drive us up there to take a look and watch the native fish. And he went on to explain that this is really a cultural and a religious center for native peoples, which really didn't mean much to me at that time as a kid. You know, it was just kind of like a long drive, but it was really interesting to watch the people fish in the way they had for centuries. And then some of the modern conveniences where they had cables running out to different little islands in those rocks, and they'd get in a small, I remember being amazed by these small little wooden carts that they could barely, a man could barely sit in, and they either hand over hand or they may even had power or something, but they would go out to these different places, and with big dip nets I would watch them land these huge salmon. Since that time a lot of those huge salmon have been wiped out by the different fishing processes down below the dam with the gill nets and so on. We've lost some of that great stock, but it was really something to behold, and I'm always a little surprised when somebody who hasn't seen that, just because you forget your age and that, you know, that they filled that up. That old Plymouth I drove here last week was built the same year they filled that, stopped the river there. So anyway, I support this resolution, and it truly was a great center for the native peoples of the northwestern Americas here, long before the white man showed up. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Berger, do you wish to close?
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. I clearly this falls has a great connection with Oregonians, even though most of you haven't seen it, and like the good representative just spoke, I did see it as a child because my parents insisted that I go up here. I would call your attention to the line that was in the resolution that was repeated by the speaker, which is line 17, and it says, whereas on March 10, 1957, the waters held back by the Dalles Dam flooded and silenced the awesome and sacred roar of Salado Falls. In the original bill, this is an amendment. In the original bill, the words were, the waters held back by the Dalles Dam flooded and perpetually silenced the awesome and sacred roar of Salado Falls. I think it's significant that the word perpetually was taken out. Those falls have been there for untold generations. They are made of God's hand, not ours. The dam is made of ours. It will not last as long as the river and the mountains. So the word perpetually taken out, I think, is a reminder of our own mortality. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members have voted. Senate Concurrent Resolution 10A, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the next memorial.
SGM 3, urging President and the United States Congress to re-examine the United States foreign policy toward Ethiopia.
The question now arises upon final adoption of Senate Joint Memorial 3A. Representative Roblin.
Thank you, Madam Chair. It is truly an honor for me to speak to this resolution for a number of reasons, and I guess the first is that we will be supporting our senators, Wyden and Smith, who have introduced a similar piece of legislation at the Congress. When I was in high school, when we were on the committee, they were talking about who wanted to carry this bill. When I was in high school, Ethiopia, for whatever reason, became one of those countries that was really interesting for me to study. It has an amazing history. The country itself goes back to its origin date of 980 B.C. And many people would say it is at that cradle of humanity where all of this began. And when you look at the history of that country through time, and I'm just going to give you some brief things that I spent a lot of time looking at. You know, Queen of Sheba is supposedly from here. But the most interesting person in my high school days was Haile Selassie, who was the emperor of this country during the Second World War and led his forces against the Italians with hardly any modern weapons and defeated the Italians. And, you know, he was later, when they had a coup in their country, probably executed by them. We don't really know exactly. He died in Ethiopia. But the study of that turmoil in that country has always been important to me, and I've followed it. So when this came about, in 1995, they started doing a lot of work to become an independent country. And after their first elections, and they were moving in that direction, a new military control took over. Demonstrations happened, and most of the people thought they were peaceful, but the military took action. 187 of their citizens were killed. All of the opposition parties were imprisoned. The journalists, others have been imprisoned. It's one of the poorest countries in the world right now, and I think that it is important for us to join other states that have sent our encouragement to our national delegation to make sure that we continue to fight for the rights of the people in Ethiopia. Thank you, and I hope you will all concur and vote aye for Senate Joint Memorial 3.
Further discussion? Representative Nelson.
Thank you to the memorial.
To the memorial.
Colleagues, in the 1970s, it was my privilege to work with Evergreen Helicopters when we went to Ethiopia during the drought and the famine. Unfortunately, our job there was to count carcasses, or human remains. So destitute, and it was incredibly the most despicable situation that you could ever see. And then, much later, in the 1990s, it was my privilege to organize a program called Oregonians Helping Ethiopians. And we were able to take our good ship Friendship to Ethiopia, massively chock-a-block with food and grain. And that we couldn't put on our jets, we were able to send by water. What was neat about that program was when we launched it, it really started with a little girl in Portland who had cancer, and she was selling ice cream cones to earn money for the Ethiopians who were starving. We took on her mission, and at that time, Johnny Lauriaga was the chair of U.S. Bank, the number one bank in America at that time, and he said, okay, Donna Evergreen, I'll match the first $50,000 that Oregonians give. Well, you know what? He never dreamed Oregonians would give $500,000. So it was my privilege to be able to work that program, and with the help of World Vision, we made sure this time that the food got to the Ethiopians. So I am proud we're doing this bill. I'm sad that we must do this, but it's very important. These are beloved people, and they deserve our help.
Further discussion? Those who are of the opinion that the memorial should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Tomei, how do you vote? Excused for business of the House. Representative Gelser, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Galizio, how do you vote? Representative Galizio, off the floor. Senate Joint Memorial 3A, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. The clerk will read the next resolution.
HJR 25, commemorating fire service members of Oregon.
The question now arises upon final reading and adoption of House Joint Resolution 25A. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, I don't really have to explain much on this since it's only a couple paragraphs long. Obviously, I don't have to sell it very hard since every one of us is signed on as a co-sponsor. This particular resolution actually stemmed from the September 11th when 300 and some firemen lost their lives going into the World Trade Center to rescue other people at a very dear cost to them. That's about it in a nutshell. This is a great resolution, and I ask for your support, which I probably really don't have to. Thank you.
Further discussion, Representative Boone.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I, too, rise in support of this resolution, to the resolution. As the good representative from Medford stated, we all signed on to this. I am a fire service member. I've always termed it firefighter, but I actually think this fire service, this which is in the amendment, adds in a lot of the EMS workers who don't actually do the hoses and smoke and fire, all that. But this is a good way we can honor our fire service members, and I encourage you to support it.
Further discussion, Representative Lim.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, and I strongly support HJR 25A. I'm coming from the family of a fireman. My father was a fire marshal under the South Korean government, and then June 25, North Korea invaded South Korea, and then we were living 3 months under the communist rule. My father was a fire marshal at the time under the communist rule for 3 months. And after South Korean came back with the help of U.S. government, and the South Korean government arrested my father, and then they shot him. And so I know firsthand how difficult it is. But I'm sorry, yeah. But we were known since then as a communist family, because they thought my father was helping the communist, but actually he was not. So last time when I went to Korea at the march, I requested South Korean government investigate that matter. So currently South Korean government investigating that incident, and it will clear sometime in the future. I just want to share with you of that part. So thank you very much.
Further discussion, Representative Jensen.
Thank you. Thank you, Madam Speaker. To the resolution.
To the resolution.
I just want to thank all of my colleagues for signing on to this bill. I urge your continued support of it. It is a very, very small token of our appreciation to people who put their life on the line for us. Every time they go out, they put their life on the line. They deserve at least a small token of our appreciation. Thank you, colleagues.
Further discussion? Representative Esquivel, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the resolution should be adopted will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. All members have voted. House Joint Resolution 25A, having received the required majority, is declared adopted. Bills, reports, and other business lying on the table. First reading of Senate bills. Second reading of Senate bills.
Senate Bill 5501, relating to financial administration of the Bureau of Accountancy and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5521, relating to financial administration of the Bureau of Labor and Industries appropriating money and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 5525, relating to financial administration of the long-term care ombudsman appropriating money and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 16, relating to your hospice program. Senate Bill 23, relating to expanded office program and declaring an emergency. Senate Bill 104, related to underground storage tanks. Senate Bill 139, relating to operational public use airports. Senate Bill 156, related to state drinking water advisory committee. Senate Bill 178, relating to unity business definitions for tax purposes and prescribing an effective date. Senate Bill 466 relating to corporations. Senate Bill 561 relating to landlord-tenant law. Senate Bill 692 relating to the Uniform TOD Security Registration Act. Senate Bill 693 relating to trustees. Senate Bill 790 relating to leasing of ocean resources. Senate Bill 883 relating to penalties for violation of pesticide laws and declared an emergency. Senate Bill 989 relating to public body exempt from insurance code. Senate Bill 1022 relating to tolls. Senate Bill 1034 relating to nursing assistance certificate fees.
Bills read second time are passed to third reading. Third reading of Senate bills. The clerk will read the bill.
Senate Bill 81, relating to criminal procedure.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 81. Representative Krieger.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I thought you were going to leave me again for the fourth time, but you've got it in there. Thank you. Senate Bill 81 comes to you from the Judiciary Committee by a unanimous vote. Senate Bill 81 expands information that the court must provide to the defendant before the defendant enters a plea of guilty or no contest. Presently, the court must advise the defendant of the following. By pleading, the defendant waives his right to confront witnesses and against self-incrimination into trial by jury. The maximum possible sentences and the defendant could be deported if the defendant is not a U.S. citizen. The need for the new language arose in 2005 when the U.S. Congress passed the Violence Against Women Act. For a state to receive funds under the Violence Against Women Act, it must clarify or certify that its policies and practices include notifying domestic violence offenders about the federal laws that prohibit firearm possession by persons convicted of certain domestic violence offenses. The court shall inform the defendant that if the defendant enters a plea of guilty or no contest to an offense involving domestic violence, as defined in ORS 135-230, and is convicted of the offense, the federal laws may prohibit the defendant from possessing, receiving, shipping, or transporting any firearms or firearm ammunition, and that the conviction may be negatively affect the defendant's ability to serve in the armed forces of the United States as defined. Senate Bill 81 really puts Oregon in a position of compliance with the federal laws so we can receive those other funds. Urge your support.
Further discussion? Seeing none, Representative Krieger, do you wish to close?
No, thank you.
He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Votes aye. Senate Bill 81, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 88, relating to water well constructions.
The question now arises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 88A. Representative Esquivel.
Yes, thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 88A extends a sunset on the continuing education requirement for renewing a water well constructor's license and for the Well Constructors Continuing Ed Committee to January 2, 2014. In the 2001 session, a continuing ed requirement for well constructors was established. The legislation also created a Well Constructions Continuing Education Committee, which was established to make recommendations to the Water Resources Commission for developing the continuing education program, as well as changing the water wells constructor's license renewal process for an optional 1 to 5 year license to a standard 2 year license for a fee of $150, and was passed with a January 2, 2008 sunset. Besides extending the sunset on the continuing education requirement and the existence of the Continuing Ed Committee, SB 88A would repeal the sunset on the licensing structure and fees and establish the fees that could be charged for continuing education credits and training sponsored by the Water Resource Department. The House Business and Labor Committee unanimously approved this bill, and of course we're talking about well drillers.
Further discussion? Representative Esquivel, do you wish to close? He does not. Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Jensen, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Esquivel, how do you vote? Votes aye. All members have voted. Senate Bill 88A, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The clerk will read the next bill.
Senate Bill 95, related to home inspectors.
The question now rises upon third reading and final passage of Senate Bill 95. Representative Bonamici.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Colleagues, Senate Bill 95 was brought to us by the Construction Contractors Board. It deals with the certification of home inspectors. It passed the Senate with 22 aye votes, and we heard some testimony about it in the Consumer Protection Committee. Colleagues, I'd like you to look at the current statute. It provides a $50 application fee and a $50 testing fee. Those are for the people who are applying for the certification to become home inspectors. And if you look at the language that's being deleted on line 25, $75 for annual certificate renewal. Colleagues, the Construction Contractor Board has been charging a $75 fee for the first year and a $75 renewal fee each year after for home inspectors. Then a question was raised about whether under that particular language the Construction Contractors Board had the authority to charge that initial fee. So they brought this bill to seek clarification. And when they brought the bill to seek clarification, they also thought this would make more sense if instead of charging the $75 once a year, we charge $150 every 2 years. So colleagues, this is not a $75 fee changing to a $150 fee. It's a $75 a year fee changing to a $150 year fee every 2 years. So I get to show off my math skills here. That's not a fee increase. So this bill clarifies that the initial certificate fee is $75 and the initial renewal is $75, but colleagues, that will be paid every 2 years instead of once a year. I urge your aye vote. This is a bill that will help with the home inspectors who inspect the houses that our constituents and people in our community are buying. They provide a great service. This does not, as I explained, increase the fee at all on the application and testing. That's existing law. It clarifies the initial fee and changes the $75 a year fee to $150 every other year. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Further discussion? Representative Gerard.
Actually, I'll be more than brief. Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want to say that I was a no vote in committee, and the carrier did such a wonderful job that I'll be switching to an aye vote on the floor.
Further discussion? Representative Bonamici, do you wish to close?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd just like to thank the good representative from the San Diego Valley. Thank you so much for supporting this bill. I urge your aye vote. Thank you.
Those who are of the opinion that the bill should pass will vote aye, and those opposed, no. The clerk will open the voting system. Representative Roblin, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Gelster, how do you vote? Votes aye. Representative Schaffler, how do you vote? Votes no. All members have voted. Senate Bill 95, having received the constitutional majority, is declared. Representative Richardson, for what purpose do you rise?
Before you drop the gavel, I want to let you know that I made a mistake and hit the wrong button and that I'm an aye vote.
Representative Richardson votes aye. Senate Bill 95, having received the constitutional majority, is declared passed. The chair requests unanimous consent that the bills remaining on the third reading of Senate Bill's calendar be carried over to their proper place on the Monday, May 21st, 2007, third reading calendar. Is there objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Other business of the House? Other business of the Senate? Orders of the day have been completed. Announcements. Representative Hanna.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I'd like to request a member to change their vote.
Representative Hanna requests unanimous consent for Representative.
Thank you, Madam Speaker, for Representative Chris Edwards to change his vote on House Bill 2147, and the change will not affect the outcome.
Representative Hanna requests unanimous consent to allow Representative Chris Edwards to change his vote on House Bill 2147. Is there objection? Seeing none, so ordered. Representative Edwards, how do you vote on concurrence and repassage of House Bill 2147?
Aye.
He votes aye. Further announcements? Representative Buckley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Democrats, just a reminder, there is a optional informational caucus meeting at noon in our caucus room. Thank you.
Further announcements? Remonstrances? Adjournment. Representative Jensen, 10 a.m., Monday, May 21st, 2007.
Madam Speaker, I move the House to adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday, May 21st, 2007.
Representative Jensen moves that the House adjourn until 10 a.m. Monday, May 21st, 2007. Without objection, the House is adjourned.